How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing well, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm back into the land of the living. I was out for 3 days last week, and Rich had to fend for himself.
I'm a regular listener, Ryan, so we missed your dulcet tones last week. But we're happy you're on the mend.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just that fun stuff that everyone's getting.
I think you and about 70% of the town.
Seriously.
Yeah. I had to call Matt in to do an extra day of duty just because I was completely at a loss without you.
So. And as you know, I report for duty when asked.
Yeah, and you're a good man for it. Good morning, Dr. Hillman. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. It's a little chilly out today.
It is.
You know, these are the kinds of days that make you really pleased and excited for May.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about this because otherwise it's going to distract me. I'm looking at your car.
Yes.
Parked, and your right blinker is on.
Really?
Yes. Yes, I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen there.
Well, that's a problem. But, we'll have to figure it out.
All right, so I'm just not going to look at it, and yeah, it'll be fine. Yeah.
All right, let me just make sure I lock the doors.
Yeah, because you can do that right from your phone.
I can.
Miracles of modern technology, man. You can pretty much do anything right from your phone now.
Rich and I both have substantially older vehicles, and
yes,
every
do.
Time I see people with newer cars that can do stuff like this, I'm like, I want a newer car now.
I've never owned a car that was built after 2004.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of proud of that. Like, I'm able to, like, I can feel like I'm able to rough it. You know,
I don't have system.
I was so anxious to get into the studio today, I must have forgotten to turn my right blinker.
Well, that's okay.
There you go. Okay. It happens.
Anyway, there was a school board meeting last night. Is there anything you want to talk about before we get into the
Well, I think you know, it's that time. There's a few announcements that we shared last night. I think they're just really worth sharing here this morning. One, we just want to remind folks that we're starting to think about next year, and so our hand-in-hand preschool early ventures and our early childhood family education program has an open house at the Northfield Community Education Center. That's on Tuesday, February 25th, 5:45 to 7 p.m. If you have young children and you're, you know, thinking about any of those programs, you know, it is really a best-in-class facility,
mm-hmm.
Really well done, especially on a day like today. How many early childhood centers have a gymnasium and an indoor playground inspired by the Minnesota Children's Museum? So yesterday I was at the building there twice, and the children were having a great time and not even concerned that it was negative outside.
That's outstanding.
So that's coming up. We're also starting that state tournament time of year.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, our Nordic ski team has had an interesting couple of years. My understanding is that Coach Cardinal and the team have not skied on natural snow in either of the last two seasons.
Is that right?
And so they had their state qualifying meet last week. We want to congratulate Andy Amundsen and Mikaya Patrika. They qualified for the Nordic State Tournament. That's cross-country skiing.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be held February 12th and 13th at Giants Ridge in Bowabic. And then Alpine also did really well. The girls won the third consecutive Big Nine championship. The boys placed second in that same race at Mount Cato. At the Section 6 championship, the girls finished third. The boys finished fourth. And we have a number of skiers who have progressed to state. So congratulations to Clara Wilson, Madison Lawrence, Bodie Balfour, and Tommy Cahoon. They'll compete at the state race on February 11th at Giants Ridge. And then something next year when this comes around, we'll make sure that we get KYMN the information ahead of time. We recently hosted the annual Northfield High School Olympic Weightlifting Invitational. And if you've not ever watched this, it's just an amazing event. Really fun to see. There's a lot of strong kids in this town across the region. And we want to congratulate Stephen Feig. He set three school records last weekend.
Wow.
He set the snatch record at 81 kilograms, the clean and jerk record at 101 kilograms, and the total for all lifts at 182 kilograms. So fantastic job by Stephen and the rest of the Olympic weightlifting team. And then I'm really thrilled because, you know, one of Northfield's best, Jody Saxton West, has been bringing home the hardware lately, which is outstanding. well deserved. And so Jody was recently named the Minnesota Outstanding Speech and Debate Educator for this year. And she's been coaching and judging speech competitions since 2022. So if you know Jody Saxon West, as we've said before, she has one speed and it's go all in for doing good things for kids. And so she is this year's Minnesota's best outstanding speech and debate educator. I would argue she's been Minnesota's best for some time, but she's getting the recognition this year. So a lot of great things happening in the school district, and just want to make sure we highlight those things. I think, you know, especially on a day like today, you know, negative temperatures, you know, things like that. I think that we can get a little down in the mouth here in Minnesota, and yet we have so many great things that are happening, and we just have to look to our friends and neighbors for that inspiration.
And congratulations to Jody Saxton West. I know that, that Jimmy LaRue has been trying to get her on his Saturday morning show to talk about it.
I think Saturday morning is speech tournament morning.
Of course it is. So maybe maybe they'll be able to talk after the season. But congratulations to Jody.
Not to mention, she's just imparting some wonderful life skills that students will really be able to take with them. Oh. Not that that's not what a lot of teachers do, but specifically when you think about speech, I mean, that's something you can take with you anywhere you go, no matter what you do.
Yeah, it's you know, there's preparation involved. There's a little bit of pressure, safe pressure on you in that moment to perform. There's the need to receive feedback that is subjective in nature in a lot of ways, and understanding how to take that feedback graciously. Again, there's just a tremendous amount of great skills that are, like as you said, all things, but specifically in speech, just a lot of those kinds of things that what we know employers really want and are things that are going to prepare every one of those students for lifelong success.
Absolutely.
Always tie it back to the vision, Rich.
Amen. I need to work on that a little bit here.
We can help you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So what happened at the board meeting last night?
So last night, the real, the probably the biggest discussion point, we're starting our, you know, we've been talking about the budget, but as you well know, we've talked about this many times, Minnesota school finance is one of the more complicated and most highly regulated systems in the country. So we are starting our budget process. We've been talking about the reductions that we have planned for the general fund, but there's a number of other standalone budgets that we need to work through. And last night, we started by talking about the operating capital and long-term facilities maintenance budgets. So operating capital, you can use that for stuff, if you will. You could use it to buy, for example, we're going to use it to buy a front loader, one of those large front loaders that, you know, ours is currently over 30 years old, and it's, you know, really part of our snow removal process, and so that needs to be replaced. It can do things like playground updates, and so the Spring Creek Playground is going to have some updates, and I'll talk about that project in just a moment because it's a very... It's a great example of how long-term facilities maintenance and operating capital funds can be braided together. Well, we use operating capital for things like high-quality curriculum material. So our 6th through 12th grade language arts teachers are right now working very hard on their curriculum review and looking at updating their materials. One of the things that we've continued to learn from research is that high-quality instructional materials in the hands of a great teacher, that is where a lot of magic can happen. And so for years, we tasked our teaching staff out of respect for their skill to be able to develop their own materials or curate their own materials, if you will. And the research over the last several years has shown that if you can remove that cognitive load or at least lessen it for teachers, that they are able to get into the more of the delivering of that curriculum and be able to use that art of teaching in conjunction with high quality curriculum materials. But they cost money. And that's the kind of thing that can come from operating capital. So you can think of operating capital as stuff, if you will.
Yeah.
And so in addition, there are a small slice of salaries that can be paid for our technology staff. We have a very lean technology staff. We have the same number of technology staff now that we did around 20 years ago, and you think about how things have changed over time. And so we pay about $600,000 in tech salaries out of operating capital. That's the only salaries that are allowed by law. Now, long-term facilities maintenance, that bill was written actually by Northfield Senator Kevin Dahl, and when he was Mr. Dahl was a senator in St. Paul, and it was really intended to help school districts maintain their existing facilities. So you can use long-term facilities maintenance revenue. It's a per-pupil allocation. You can use it to update a facility. So as long as it has the room or the you know, the area of the school that you're updating has the same function afterwards that it did before, it qualifies for long-term facilities maintenance budgeting. And so that Spring Creek Playground is a great example.
Yeah.
So we are going to be able to use long-term facilities maintenance dollars to replace the base, if you will. And so we're going to be able to move that. We're planning to move that to a poured in place, at least a significant portion of the playground. And I say, well, what's that? Well, if you've seen that Everyone's Playground in Spring Creek Park, it's an accessible surface. So a student who needs to use a wheelchair or a knee scooter, they're able to navigate that playground effortlessly, as opposed to if there was the traditional wood chips. So long-term facilities maintenance revenue can actually pay for that portion of the project, but operating capital pays for the new equipment, right? So there, again, this is a good example of how there's regulation and how we work to braid different funding systems together to make the best use of dollars for our community. So lots of things going on there with long-term facilities maintenance. There's also some very exciting things like tuck pointing, right? That's replacing the mortar between the bricks, you know, in certain buildings, and we have that on a schedule. Those are the kind of parking lot, you know, resurfacing and repair. It can pay things for things like our annual fire inspections and things like that. So this is a good example of how Minnesota school finance is regulated for good reason, right? This is intended to try to take care of our facilities to be able to provide students and teachers with the equipment and the kinds of things that they need to continue learning and preparing for lifelong success. So Val Murdersdorf and Justin Robbally talked about that quite a bit last night. No approval last night, but this is one budget we do ask the board to approve early in the cycle. So the board will be asked to approve those two budgets and the long-term facilities maintenance required 10-year plan at the next meeting. And the reason is we want to get out ahead. There's really a short summer, if you really think about it, and a lot of things to get done. And the earlier that we can get contracts with contractors, we're able to get a solid price, and we have the ability to know, or at least reasonably believe, that we would be able to conduct and get all of that work done over the summer.
There's less than 90 days between the last day of school and the first day of school, isn't there?
Yeah, it's I would have to do the math, but I think you're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
This is definitely that time of year where you can feel the energy, I feel like, starting to build back up a little bit, because I don't know about you, Matt, but I always remember feeling when I was in the classroom like, you know, you came back after the holidays, this huge slump, right? Where it's just, you're kind of, it's like, oh, okay, Christmas rush is over.
And that's for all of society.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah,
it,
you know,
it is for me.
And then this time of year I loved, because it's like, okay, we can feel it. It's coming. It's slow, but it's a nice build up to then it's like, okay, spring's happening. And then, you know, kids are all, well, and staff, I'm sure, too. Everyone's kind of looking forward to a little bit of a break as well. So
do you think that the Super Bowl is the dividing line there?
Honestly, I think it is. It's kind of that shift. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, we can feel it. It's happening.
Well, it's the moment the Super Bowl is over is the time that I have hope that the Minnesota Vikings will finally make it and win it next year.
See,
this week I'm more worried about the Twins, because pitchers and catchers report.
I think it's pitchers and catchers that reporting. That's what the dividing line is. At least it is for me.
I think one of the things, you know, being a little abnormal, I suppose, I look at every day that we have, you know, in our schools is an opportunity to learn, whether it's the first day or the last day or every day in between. And there are natural ups and downs, obviously.
Oh, totally.
That's life, right? That's humanity.
Yeah. Yep.
And at the same time, if we try to keep bringing our A game, or as close to our game A game every single day, the people around us rise to that, right? So when we, as the adults in a school, do that, the other adults around us do that, and the students pick up on it. And so
they do.
Kids are really perceptive, much more than I think adults give them credit for. Having done this for 30 years, I can tell you kids are truth tellers, and they can see through all the foolishness pretty quick, right?
Not only can they do that, but this, it's like, because I remember this time of year, I would also just try and find, like, okay, yeah, we're maybe all in a little bit of a lull right now. Let's try and find these little ways to find a little joy, you know, and just spice things up a little bit in your classroom. Maybe you want to try a new activity. Maybe you want to try a new approach to rewarding good behavior. You know, just something to mix it up a little.
Well, and Ryan, that's a great segue, because I wanted to talk a little bit about something new that we've been doing this year. So as we've talked about on the show before, we are implementing a new kindergarten through fifth grade math program this year. And it is Bridges Math, and it's been a really heavy lift for elementary teachers. You know, they're embroiled in the REDAC training, and they are doing this new math curriculum implementation. And our teams are saying, this is really excellent curriculum, right? It's providing students an opportunity to struggle with mathematical concepts, which we know is really important for their development. One of the things that we have done really as a result of a very large grant that we won, a competitive grant, a $100,000 grant that we've won from the Cerisi Waldburn Foundation 2 years in a row, we've been working with a company called TNTP who really studies curriculum implementation. And one of the things that we have implemented is something called Teacher Lab Days. And it might sound like a very simple concept, but it is not the easiest thing to pull off in schools. So what happens is there are identified days where teachers are able to visit other teachers, right, mm-hmm. doing their work and seeing how they have implemented a lesson, and then be able to get ideas and provide some feedback and have some greater professional discussion. You think, well, you know, geez, that's pretty easy to do. It is not, right? Because guess what? Someone has to take care of the children. And so if mm-hmm. we take a, you know, someone from one classroom or people from a certain amount of classrooms and they go visit and watch other people teaching lessons, we still have to cover the students, because guess what? Six-year-olds can't be by themselves, right? So right. The coordination of this and just the ability to be able to work through it is really important. We've really seen some good results from this. And it is that part for our teaching staff. They're vulnerable, right? And they're modeling some vulnerability by having other professionals come in and give them feedback. You know, you literally have a window here on Main Street, Rich, right? Mm-hmm. And being a radio, you get some feedback, right, from time to time, I'm sure, about the content, maybe even of this segment. But that's hard for everybody, right? I mean, if you think about anybody who's out there, if you were to have someone come and stand over your shoulder and watch what you're doing in your job and then tell you, that's a really hard thing for people to do. And you'd like to say, oh, just be tough. I think it takes, I'm there, right?
Yeah,
but it takes a long time to get there. So I'm really proud of our teaching staff for trusting the process and being able to be open to these lab days that we have. It's very similar to like a lesson study approach mm-hmm. that I know Prairie Creek School has used and popular in Japanese education. So this is the kind of academic work that we are doing, again, to prepare every student for lifelong success. Our teachers are working really hard, our students are getting the benefit, and then it's this whole collaboration piece.
Sure.
Teachers are constantly in a sort of fishbowl because you have your students always there watching you, watching what you're doing, right? But then a lot of school districts have adopted this instructional model where they are having coaches come in mm-hmm. and watch what the teachers are doing. And then you have professional observations as well. So you kind of always have a set of eyes on you at some point or another. But I will say what was funny is I remember when I was teaching, after a while, I just kind of forgot people would even be there because I got so used mm-hmm. to people just coming in and out. So it does, it's a little awkward at first. But then you're just kind of like, oh, well, you know what? I just treated them like they were another student.
Yeah.
There you go. And it's a good process, right? It's about collaboration. It's about continued growth. And, mm-hmm. you know, in mathematics, everyone comes to the mathematics, you know, journey at a different place. And,
oh, yeah.
It's our job to really just take them where they're at. And you think about it, you know, really the point, one of the points of mathematics is obviously computation, some of those, but it's far more than that. It's critical thinking, it's problem solving.
It is
about wrestling with a challenging piece and trying to come to a truth, if you will, mm-hmm. and understand that there are multiple ways that you can get to that truth. And so it's a really important skill for our students to know.
And as much as you want your students to obviously be successful in their academic pursuits, it's so important for teachers to feel successful as well and that they're supported, especially when these big curriculum changes come, because it is always a little unnerving at first. Math was always the hardest subject to teach.
Well, in the way that we're looking at teaching mathematics now, there's also a lot of stuff, right?
Because there is.
There are manipulatives and things to try to get students to be able to interact with mathematics as opposed to just the sit and get, mm-hmm. right? There's always mm-hmm. still some direct instruction. And obviously, we need fact fluency, the ability to do mathematical computations quickly. That helps you with the next level. Mm-hmm. But it does take, there's a lot of stuff. And that's part of the preparation for our teachers this year is, now next year that'll be a little easier, right? Because they'll have prepared all of those manipulatives. Those are things that you can use to count and to really actually play with mathematical processes. And if you think mm-hmm. about mathematicians, they're doing this all the time, right? With models and things like that, you know, the kind of modeling that they do in mathematics. So it's just adjusted for a first grader.
So what you're saying is we're a long way now from Donald Duck in Math Magic Land.
I still use that. I used that when I was teaching sometimes.
Did you really?
Oh, yeah, for the Pythagorean theorem. And, yeah.
Hey, you know what? You use all sorts of things.
Absolutely.
Because it's all about getting them to engage in a, you know, entertaining way.
If you the tool is there, the tool is there.
You use what you got.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Mm-hmm. What else happened last night?
So, other thing that we talked, we did approve the school calendar for next year. Okay. We'll get that to Logan and make sure he can get that on the site.
Great.
And then, of course, we're talking about our operational budget.
Right.
And so, our budget teams, we've had, we'll have over 60 people from the community. That's community members with children, community members without children, students. We have 6 district youth council students who are going to participate, staff, administrators will be coming together beginning tonight. 5 different teams looking at our operational budget. We've talked about this before. The reason that we're looking at a $6 million cut is declining enrollment, the impact of inflation, which we just heard this morning about the city water plant, right?
Yeah,
in terms of that's a huge example.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then, of course, the well-intended mandates from the state that are having an impact on our budget. So those are the 3 things. And, you know, in the past couple of weeks, as we come through this, people come to this conversation at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people will say, well, how come you haven't been working on this? We have been working on this. Well, how come you didn't do something before now? This is the before.
Yeah.
We are a proactive, responsible organization when it comes to our budget. And so, Rich, you know, how long have I been interviewing with you?
Right? 4 years.
And we talk about the budget in good times and in not so good times.
Yes, we
right?
do.
And so we talk about that regularly. But for, you know, I just want to help folks in the community say, well, how come you weren't working on this in the last, we have been working on the last several months. Well, how come you didn't take action before now? Because this is the before, right? This is the moment where we have. And anytime you do something like this, you know, you always wish you could rewind it one little step, right?
Yeah.
But the conversations ahead are, we're not going to sugarcoat it. They're going to be difficult, right? A $6 million reduction is necessary. That's what, remember, we have $8 million in the bank.
Yeah.
So we, you know, we some districts would just kick the can down the road with this one. We don't do that because we are responsible. And we have over 60 of our friends and neighbors who are going to come and give us ideas. So tonight, we will start. Tonight's going to be a little messy.
Mm-hmm.
We ground people in what the budget is. They break out into their teams, and then they start having conversations and ideas about what we should look at. Some of those things are doable.
Mm-hmm.
Some things our administrators are going to have to say, we can't do that because of this particular reason, and it's either illegal or there's something else that mm-hmm. prevents you from going down a certain road. Our administrative team then takes those ideas. We activate them into what it would look like as an actual budget reduction. We'll bring those things back in this iterative process over the next couple of weeks, tonight through the 25th of February, 3 meetings. And then that will get us to a point where we'll have a set of preliminary reduction proposals. March 11th, we're going to have a public meeting for people to hear those specific reduction proposals. They'll have a chance to both in small groups and in a large assembly be able to respond to those things, and the board can hear that. The board then will formally hear those proposed reductions at the first meeting in April,
mm-hmm.
and will be asked to approve the reductions at that second meeting in April. Now, over the years, we have used this same budget process, this program-based budget, priority-based budget reduction process in this community for 2 decades. This goes all the way back to Chris Richardson and Tom Stringer, you know, in 03, 04, 04, 05.
Mm-hmm.
We use a very similar process. It's adjusted over the years. It's evolved a little bit. And the vast majority of the community recommendations are things that are activated. And then the board does have that ability for what, you know, for our listeners, I would call the line item veto, right? If they have, and over the years, they have said, you know what, we really appreciate this recommendation, but we just can't do this. We're not going to do this for the community. And so the people who come to these meetings, their voice is really important and valued, and it's start of a process. There's nothing about this that doesn't stink. Right.
Yeah.
But we have to do it because we both need to serve the people who are here and the people who we all have in the future. And, you know, finally, just want to remind people, sometimes people confuse the fact that we passed the bond referendum in November with the operating budget. And I understand that's logical. In your home budget, everything is mingled. That is not the way it is in Minnesota school finance. And the bond referendum is really setting us up for the longer term piece mm-hmm. as housing reopens in this community. It's setting us up with a facility that will help us, you know, continue to recruit people. And because of the updates to the facility, it will actually have a I'll say positive. I'm not going to qualify it, but it's going to have a positive impact on our operating budget. The current building, very little insulation, antiquated HVAC system.
Mm-hmm.
The replacement facility, some new, some renovated, is obviously going to be insulated, right, to code. It's going to have a geothermal system that is anticipated to save quite a bit of operational dollars compared to what it's replacing. So in the long term, in the next several years, it's going to actually have a positive impact on our operating budget. So I think we're just going to have to remind our friends and neighbors that the bond referendum was really a longer term piece, and the operational budget is the here and now that we have to respond to and set us up for positivity in the future.
Yeah, you know, we could do a full hour, I think, on how the school funding is regulated in the state of Minnesota.
You got it.
That wouldn't be the most exciting radio either. But it's important stuff to try to at least try to understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Hillman.
Yeah.